Baruch Hashem Adonai Shalom Mishpacha Chavarim, which means blessed be the name of the Lord and peace to our family and friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, WHKWRadio.com. Locally on 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen, and paper. Take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning God's Word from the book of Haggai. If you are driving, you might like to go later to Shofar's website, shofarministry.net, to re-listen and take your notes, because today's program has many insights you will want to remember, and they're important to know for the end time scenario. And we're going to begin, as we do with every live show, with a prayer, and we're going to go to our Father in Heaven. Abba, we bless you and thank you for your presence, for your provision, and especially your salvation that you gave to us freely, although it cost you everything. Protect our listeners if they are driving and listening, and all our friends and supporters, and all those who have called in, written us, emailed us with prayer requests for healing, for salvation. Lord, we lift all those up to you tonight. You're a good God, and even though we're not good, you are good, and you're always faithful, and we thank you for that tonight, that you're a faithful God. And in the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, and shalom as well to all of the precious listeners tonight. We will be opening the phone lines later in this hour if anyone should happen to have a question, especially about the end of days. And please remember, as I often say, but it's just important to remind you, that we do get a special blessing, according to Revelation 1:3, and a special crown, 2 Timothy 4:8. For studying the end times, because it's all about our Messiah's return as king to set up his kingdom right here on earth.
Well, after he cleans it up first.
Yes, it's just like kicking out the old tenants, then cleaning up the house before the new movers arrive.
Well, that's a good analogy.
Thanks.
That's why you get the big bucks.
Oh, stop.
Well, Sheila, what's happening in today's headlines that affects us?
Well, of course, the big talk today is the Hurricane Isaac. It is definitely taking center stage. What's interesting is that it is actually, Isaac, the 7th anniversary to the day, which is tomorrow, of Katrina. It actually delayed the Republican National Convention by one day, but it's done that before. I guess the last three conventions, they've delayed some of it. Or President Bush didn't show up because he was worried about the hurricane. Yeah.
That God was trying to tell the Republicans something there?
I don't know. But that's what the Democrats are saying for sure. But anyway, I don't know if you remember Bill Koenig.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's the author of that book, Eye to Eye, which was very eye-opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he reminded me that bad weather often occurs when the United States has made anti-Israel statements, especially about giving up more land.
And we know this to be true. We've seen it happen time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do now?
Well, on Tuesday, apparently, just prior to Isaac forming as a tropical storm.
Hey, that's a pretty amazing name, too.
Well, it is pretty amazing.
I mean, considering the circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But just prior to Isaac forming, the Republican Platform Committee, Eric Cantor, who happens to be Jewish, voted to add a two-state position pertaining to Israel for a formal convention approval.
Wow.
Now, that's a no-no. And then this storm started forming. And what's also interesting is that earlier, apparently a pastor on the Republican Platform Committee offered his take and wanted to do an amendment for it, just a one-state solution, you know, for the Israel and Palestinian Arabs with no land concession by the Jewish state. Well, of course, he was voted down.
I was going to ask you what happened to that.
But here's the irony of ironies. The Christians stand for Israel, while the Jewish voices prevailed with Palestinian accommodation.
It seems that way. I'm not too confused because some of the biggest mouths are getting the most attention, and not necessarily all the other people's opinion is not yeah. considered. We're just hearing from the top.
Well, that was very disappointing when I heard that about Eric Cantor. I just, of course, I'm not saying God did it, but it's just interesting. And that tropical storm just started brewing. I don't know. I'll just leave that up to our listeners. We'll report and they can decide.
Yes, that's right. And they can read that book, Eye to Eye. I think it's still available.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, it's about to hit New Orleans now again, like Katrina did, and it's has passed Tampa. They only had to actually delay the convention by one day. But now we've got the Gulf oil at risk again.
Mm.
Oil companies in the area have already evacuated their crews.
Hmm.
So keep our eye on that. Also, Palestinian terrorists operating out of the Gaza Strip again fired 3 missiles recently at the southern Israel town of Sderot. Actually, it was Sunday morning. The missiles are becoming more sophisticated now, and so therefore they're becoming more accurately aimed. And you all can't see this on the radio, of course, but I just wanted to show you, John, that picture of the little boy.
I see that picture. It's a little boy looking out the window. He's got his kippah on the top of his head. He's a little school kid, you can see. And the wall is just outside wall is just pockmarked with shrapnel holes. Mm-hmm. It looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
And
really?
That's and
can
you know
imagine?
They started shooting these when the Israel's schools got in session. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they're intentionally trying to target Israeli children.
Yes.
And I think that's just despicable.
It is despicable.
Yes.
Talking about Egypt, too, they still have troops in their Sinai. It's just looking very, very bleak over there.
Mm.
Very bleak. As far as Iran goes, it continues to enrich its uranium. Israel is still contemplating what to do, at least contemplating in our viewpoint because we don't really know. But Hal Lindsey the other night was saying that he thinks that they will probably, first of all, he agreed with me they'll be doing something more covertly, nothing openly attacking, but he thought that the EMP attack would be something that they would try because that would just knock down all their electricity and they wouldn't be able to continue for at least
a while.
They
have an EMP device?
Israel does, sure.
Hmm. And it's not a nuclear device?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
That's kind of like futuristic sounding.
Yeah, well, that's what Hal Lindsey said. So if you want more information on that, go to his website. I'm sure you can get more information.
Yeah, if I had a computer, I'll do that.
Yeah. It'll get fixed. Syria, still in civil war.
Mm.
Now, these rebels, which originally they were said to be citizens, they were against Assad.
And they may have been.
Well, they ain't.
At that time.
Much anymore.
Because
now they have actually spotted Al-Qaeda terrorists. And, of course, they're doing just what they like to do best, terrorize.
Mm.
But also I'm told that the Muslim Brotherhood are joining in as well.
Uh-huh. We knew it was
undercover,
that way.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So there really isn't anybody that you can root for. It's evil against evil. And, of course, everyone is fearing, though, the massive number of chemical weapons that are out there. Who's going to get them and what's going to happen with them?
Yes.
And then, of course, there's always the Isaiah 17 destruction of Damascus, and we never
that
you know,
hasn't
that
happened
happen,
yet,
not yet.
And it looks like it could be happening at any time. So that's right. A wake-up call right there.
So we're going to close the news portion because we have a lot to talk about tonight, and I don't want to run out of time before we finish Haggai Chapter 2. Now, last week we taught on Teshuvah because that's what Haggai Chapter 1 was really about. It was a season of repentance.
Repentance.
And God made sure
to God.
That we knew that it was during that season.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Because he starts by saying
In
the sixth month, and that is so significant.
That's right. That's Elul.
That's Elul. And you were telling me, you know, there's people that they say they read their Bibles, but they'll go right past something like the sixth month. And I'm one of those people, and
I used to be.
I used to be.
When you're a baby Christian, you expect that.
Yeah, but you would be reading, and you're so And then something like in the sixth month comes along, and it's just a detail, and you wonder why it's there. You don't think about it much. You just keep reading.
Yeah.
But here, this is turning out to be hugely important.
It's very important to know when they're, what they're doing at what time. And tonight's lesson, when you see, well, let's just get into it, because
okay.
It's pretty amazing. And if you didn't know what these dates were, you would never be able to experience the depth that he wants to take you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to take
well,
you.
Well, that's this ministry's goal, is to get people in the Word to experience the depth. That's what Paul says to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to keep feeding you milk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get on.
No, it's 6 months. He's rebuking his people for just ignoring the building of the temple. Okay.
Well, he's just not just doing that, though, and I think we need to point that out.
Okay.
Yes, that was the ultimate something that you see, you know, at the result of.
Oh, I see.
But I think he was really rebuking them because their hearts weren't where they would be. They were ignoring God, or they would have wanted to make his house.
Oh.
See, he was looking at the heart.
I see. So it wasn't more the out. Well, that was the result
the
of their
result
hearts
of
was
their hearts.
They just let the temple project go. But they were discouraged. They were discouraged because they had enemies. There was anti-Semitism. And you know, we get discouraged like that.
Well, that's why it's important to read your word, so you can see that we're not the only ones. You know, God's people have had reasons to be discouraged since the beginning of time.
Wow.
But we shouldn't let that get to us. We need to continue on with what he's told us to do and what faith he's given us to perform the duties that he expects, and not to get discouraged.
So we are showing, if we're not witnessing, that's kind of like an outward sign that our hearts, that we're not really,
I think,
maybe telling people enough about.
We need to be out there witnessing more, because if we don't, it's showing us that we just don't care about God's people.
Yeah, so we're are pretty much in the same place, and we could make a whole
mm-hmm.
sermon on that
yeah,
one,
can.
I think. Yeah. Oh, by the way, last week's program is archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net. And you will be hearing us saying Haggai back, but this week we're saying Haggai. And
Haggai.
We'll tell you about that later on, why we're doing that.
Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we are right now as well, right now, you and me, John,
mm-hmm.
in the season of repentance.
Real time.
Yes, mm-hmm. we're still in the month of Elul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we will be until Tishri 1
mm-hmm.
for Rosh Hashanah, but that's only 30 days, and Teshuvah is broken up into two sections, 30 days and then 10 more.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's 30 days to Rosh Hashanah, or what I say in the church is more familiar with, the Feast of Trumpets. Okay?
Okay.
Everybody's pretty getting familiar with that now, don't you think?
I hope so. I think they are.
Okay. But anyway, in God's goodness, there's still 10 more days until Yom Kippur. Now, that doesn't really apply a lot to us today,
mm-hmm.
because we should repent every day. We have Jesus living inside of us. So it's a whole new thing, you know, new covenant. However, we can learn from what the Jews went through before, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, the Jews believed that God in his goodness would give them that extra 10 days till Yom Kippur. But then, if anyone still had sin in their heart, they believed that God actually would take their names out of the book of life.
Hmm.
So it was very, extremely important that they made sure that they were as clean as a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, through that, though, there's typology. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love typology because I'm always looking for pictures in the Old Testament.
I know you are.
In fact, Hosea says, look for the pictures. I've given them to you. Look for them. I think that's 10:12, isn't it? Or is
yeah.
it 12:10?
Yeah, that's a pretty direct statement. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I've
is.
Given you the pictures. Look for them.
Look for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, here's the picture. If you look now in the future to the end of days, after the rapture, that extra 10 days to Yom Kippur is a type of the 7-year tribulation. And here's why.
Hmm. Yeah, I was going to say 10 and 7.
Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Yom Kippur is the last day. So the days in between, days 3 through 9, equals 7.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, these are called the 7 awesome days.
Okay.
And that is a type of the 7-year tribulation. In other words, if an unbeliever doesn't repent by the time the rapture happens, they will go into the tribulation period. And then they can still get saved because of God's goodness until he comes back on Yom Kippur.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's with the extra 10 days and why it's separated.
I see.
And why they still had an extra 10 to Yom Kippur, because it's a picture of the tribulation, and I believe Jesus will come back on a Yom Kippur.
I do too.
Second coming.
Second coming.
Mm-hmm. Not the secret coming. The rapture, no.
No.
At the end of the tribulation.
Yeah. We are talking about first century Judaism. I want to remind everybody that modern Judaism probably doesn't.
No. Not too much.
Not too much into this.
A little bit maybe Orthodox in Israel. I think might.
Okay.
But I don't, know for positive. The thing about it is the Dark Ages really messed up everybody. It messed up the Christians, added stuff, threw things away, and it messed up the Jewish beliefs. They burned books. I mean, it was just a terrible
thing. Yeah, it was a bad time.
So then soon after, they started making their own rules, as, the Catholicism did, because they were the only religion at the time. And the Jews have too. They added the Kippah. That wasn't first century. A lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of things.
But anyway, I study first century Judaism,
as
you will.
Yeah.
No, I think. Because I want to know it when Jesus was here.
Yeah, we want to.
What they did up to that point in.
Exactly. The traditions of his day, which aren't too much different from today, just in some areas, right?
Yeah. Now, those who do not repent and believe in Christ by the end of the 7-year tribulation will be part of the goat nation and thrown into everlasting fire.
Ooh.
That's what Matthew 25:41 says. And so many people say, well, God never says, Jesus never talked about hell. Ah, yeah, he did.
He talked about it
fire,
a lot.
I think so.
Yeah, the smoke of their torment rises forever.
Matthew 25:41, look it up if you don't believe me.
No, he talked a lot about it.
Again, we're going to cover that over the next few months, the fall feast and more in detail, but I really want to continue on today. But I want to remind people, too, that everything, as we said, in the Old Testament is really written for the bride of Christ, for us to learn as to how it's going to be. And again, it's called typology. In fact, I have the scripture in Romans 15:4. Would you read that, John?
Yeah. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Where's that?
That's in Romans 15:4.
Four. Okay, so again, whatever things are written before. Hello? Are you out there listening?
That's very direct, and that's such a rich passage, isn't it?
They were written for our learning. And he was talking to the New Testament believers.
Our learning.
And that we would sit down with patience and comfort, of course, and study slowly, picking it apart, connecting the dots, writing it down, looking up words in the Strong's. Study the Bible to show yourself approved. Don't just read all the time, because you're not studying, and you're just not going to be able to connect the dots.
I like hearing that word, patience and comfort, and especially hope. And I think that hope is probably more has the meaning of confidence.
Confidence.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that, John, because that's what the word is, elpis. It means confidence.
Confidence, yes. And I'm so glad that Paul said that. It truly does benefit the believer to dig deeper. And I've done this now, and I have experienced this patience, this comfort, and actually this confidence. I have. And I know when I started to dig deeper.
Amen. But again, it's very clear to me after studying for 25 years to break roots, and to those other people that study it, pretty much come to the same conclusion, that he will sound the trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets for the rapture. And no one knows what year that'll be. We don't even know what day it is because it lasts for 2 days. So I don't know the day or the hour, in case you want to call me up and yell at me. Although, because of Israel's back in the land and many other signs, we suspect it to be very soon, don't we, John?
Yes, we do.
Okay. But in a nutshell, because we want to finish Haggai today, knowing this as a typology for the bride, Especially today. Yeah, in days. Every year, though, we're actually getting a 30-day warning during the season of Teshuvah to stir up even more so as many believers as we can to witness to unbelievers. That time is running out. Now, should they reject? Explain what will happen after the rapture. They must know this, so that perhaps when the rapture happens, and that can be a catalyst, they will get on their knees immediately when they realize that many millions of people have disappeared, and then they can believe. If they don't do it immediately and they wait too long, then I believe 2 Thessalonians 2 will kick in, where they will be given a delusion that actually comes from God because they won't repent.
Oh, and they reject the truth, and
because he will
let them believe a lie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important on our part right now to not worry about politics, not worry about everything that's going on. I report the news, but I really don't care. What I care about is who's getting saved, how many people can I tell what's going to happen, because most people today, I won't say most, here in America, a lot of people will not receive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They just got a wall up in front of their eyes, and they will just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell them what's going to happen, and then they realize that millions of people are gone, I know that they'll get on their knees and repent. And there's a lot of tribulation saints, according to Revelation 7. Many of them.
Many.
Many, many.
Many, many.
So, the only reason, though, I believe they will get saved is because they're going to see the rapture that we told them about. That we are telling them about. If we don't tell them, then they're going to believe the lie. Unfortunately.
So this is retroactive preaching.
So wake up, church.
We're actually just planting seeds. We're not going to see this harvest, but we're going to plant the seeds.
Hopefully we'll see some, but if we don't, that's not the issue.
Right.
Don't get discouraged. Don't get downhardened, downtrodden, because, I'm not going to tell anybody else about the Lord because nobody's listening. That's not the issue. Plant your seeds. You're going to get rewards for those seeds, by the way. He's going to give them to you at the beam of judgment.
That's right.
And so you want to plant as many seeds as possible so that they will get saved and at least be a tribulation saint. And that means your whole family, every friend that you ever had, if you tell them, you'll see them in the kingdom. They won't be the bride. I don't want to, mix that up. But they'll be there.
Yeah.
And they won't be perishing in hell.
Oh, that's good news.
And I've told this to a few people, and they go, all right, when we see that millions of people have disappeared, you bet I will be down on my knees. And I thought, all right, God, I believe, will always forgive someone's sins when they really, truly repent, because he knows their hearts.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
I do.
I do, too.
And so, anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we're back in the time of Haggai.
Yes, we are.
And I want to just say this real quick before we get into it, is that Haggai, his name actually means feast.
My feast.
My feast. Haggai means
my. Hag means feast.
And I just realized that Chag Sameach is an expression you use for happy, have a happy holiday.
Well, isn't it interesting that he chose the book of Haggai then to talk about these important dates, which are all pretty important, like feasts.
Yes.
Teshuvah build up to the feast.
Yes.
And in chapter 2, we're going to see another feast.
Okay. So not only does knowing the month that he tells us important, it also, the rest of the chapter pretty much hangs on that. So.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to chapter 2, of course. Did we read verse 1 yet? No, go ahead.
Did I read verse 1? No.
Did you? No.
Before the decree is issued?
No, that's Zephaniah 2:2.
That's Zephaniah. Okay.
Did you read that?
Did I read Zephaniah? No, I didn't. Let's do that.
All right.
There was a reason we wanted to read you this.
Yes, I knew.
Yeah. This is Zephaniah 2, verse 2. Before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you.
Before.
The day of the Lord's anger comes upon you.
We're supposed to. There you go. That's a good scripture, Zephaniah 2:2. By the way, next week we're going to be talking about that day and that day.
Ooh.
I want to tell you.
We want to get saved before that day.
Before. Now, let's go right into chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay. In the seventh month, 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying.
Okay, first off, there is always a reason when God tells us what date it is, especially the exact day of the month. This is the 21st of Tishrei, which just happens to be the last and seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we'll expound on this in October, but briefly, you need to know that. This is the day they call Hoshana Rabbah, or the Great Salvation or Deliverance. And it was mandatory.
That they rejoiced. In other words, you'd be happy.
This was a week-long feast, okay, the season of joy. But on the seventh day, they expounded on a ceremony called Simchat Beit HaShuvah, or Rejoicing at the House of the Water Drawing. Now, much goes into this, but essentially, they went to the Pool of Siloam, threw water, and put in a golden vase and called it the Living Water, Mayim Hayim. They took it back to the temple, where a priest had a silver vase full of red wine. Get a picture of this.
I'm trying to picture this. Okay.
Now, other priests would swish willows to sound like a rushing wind, while they would circle the altar 7 times. Now, the other days, they only did it once. Then they would pour water and wine together from the vases over the brazen altar as a shofar is blown, and a flute was played by a priest called the Pierced One.
The flute is actually called the Pierced One, right?
The flute player.
The flute player is called the Pierced One?
Yes. See, that's what they called him.
Oh.
And, of course, we know a flute has those little holes in it.
Okay? Yes.
So, again, another picture of Jesus. I mean, it's just full of pictures of the coming Messiah.
Oh, my gosh.
They ended the ceremony by laying the willows like a sukkah over the altar as they sang Isaiah 12:3. Would you read
yes,
that?
Yes, as we often sing at Shofar Assembly, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Yes. Now, to us, this is a great picture of Jesus. And they did this for centuries. Jesus was on the altar or the tree, okay? He was pierced, and water and blood, represented by the wine, poured out on the altar or the tree. We know this by John 19:34. The sound of the willows represent the Holy Spirit, and then the willows covered the altar represent Jesus providing a cover of protection for us, but also a chuppah, as in our marriage to him. And if you ever studied the marriage feast, that would really fit in well. And we've done that in the past, and we should do it again maybe. But here's the deal. Isn't it interesting that Jesus chose the seventh day of this feast again, just like Haggai, Tishrei 21, to shout out to all, and it's recorded in John chapter 7, 37 and 38.
Okay.
Why don't you read that?
So if you're wondering where this came from, John 37, 38. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
It's just amazing.
Oh, that's
how
cool.
He takes this, what they were doing, and uses it to teach. And he does it all the time, all through the book of John.
Yes.
He does that. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to explain just a little more about Hoshana Rabbah and finish the book of Haggai.
Great. Okay. Just a quick reminder, your donations are tax deductible, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations will put you on Sheila's newsletter. You'll be on the mailing list for that, or you can include your email address and you can get emails as well. Oh, okay, so stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a great song.
Yes.
What if you could do something for your kids right now to get them ahead in school and keep them ahead for their whole life? You'd do it, right? Any teacher will tell you, the kids who read better and retain what they read get better grades. We found that poor reading isn't because kids are lazy, it's because they're overwhelmed and were never taught the right way to read. Well, now you can turn poor grades around, even to A's, because for the first time ever, one of the most prestigious universities in the country, the University of California, helped create a reading program for children everywhere. It's the new phonics game, guaranteed to improve your child's grades by at least one full letter in English, reading, or spelling on their next report card.
For a limited time, the new phonics game is offering their free home reading checker so you can see exactly where your child needs to improve. This is a $50 value and it's free, but you must call now. Call 1-800-380-9030. That's 1-800-380-9030. Call 1-800-380-9030.
Running a facility, chances are managing inventory isn't your favorite part of the day. Stocking and tracking, ordering and organizing, all necessary evils eating up your time. That's why Grainger's KeepStock services help you manage your inventory more efficiently, from basic labeling and scanning to secure dispensing machines, putting you in total control, often allowing you to buy less, making things seem, well, not so evil anymore. Contact your Grainger representative or visit Grainger.com/KeepStock today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, I'm Pastor Tim from Church Alive, and Alive in the Word heard Monday through Friday at 12:45. Are you looking for a place where you can use your gifts and talents to touch hearts and change lives? Do you have a passion to reach new people with the message of God's love and goodness? Then I want to invite you to join us as we prepare to launch a brand new campus of Church Alive in Middleburg Heights. Pre-launch groups are meeting each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. at the Crown Plaza Hotel at I-71 and Bagley Road in Middleburg Heights. Visit us on the web for more information at mychurchalive.com.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
There's a beauty program going on in heaven. Construction carried out by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that sea. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. The feeble will be young, no division all is one. Eternal celebrate and going on. Don't you want to go? Yeah.
Oh, that was really good. I think we should do it one more time. What do you think? Yes.
Yes? Oh, why not?
Don't you want to go with me to Gospel City? Oh, don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing?
All right, Don't You Want to Go? And we could go and go and go with that song.
Yes, we could.
That's the Crab Family, and that's one of our favorite songs by them. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and welcome back. The lines are now open. The number for your end time question, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Don't be shy. You can call in. And just a reminder, Shofar Ministries Hour is every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend?
Yes.
And if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m.
Yes, that's coming up in a week or so,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's us. That's us. And
love to see you. Come on out.
Yeah, love to see you.
Bring a friend.
Bring a friend.
We'll have fun.
11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's actually Route 306 in Chesterland.
I've been told that people really like to come because it's not taped that I can usually say whatever I want.
That's a good thing, though.
Yes,
that's
it is a good thing.
And then we can sing things like Isaiah 12:3. We actually sing that in Hebrew.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
It's really, really a good time.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking about Hoshana Rabbah, okay, which is the 21st of Tishrei, the last day of the Great Feast, and Jesus chose this time to talk about what they were actually doing and compared it to himself as being rivers of living water.
Okay.
It's called the Day of the Great Salvation. And again, he stated simultaneously as the water drawing ceremony, by the way, in which the water and wine was poured out upon the altar, that he was the source of the living water. You know what? Are you out there today, maybe? Have you drunk from the well of salvation? Hope so. All right, let's go back to Haggai chapter 2 and see now if we can figure out why God wanted us to know that it was a certain date that they would be celebrating this particular season of joy.
Okay, this is chapter 2, verse 1?
No.
No, verse 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear.
Amen. Now, his spirit lives in us, not among us, like he did with them. He actually lives inside of us now.
Mm.
And didn't Jesus actually refer to himself as the temple?
He sure did. In Mark 14, verse 58, he says, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. So...
Amen.
So we don't have any excuse, really, for not getting our temples built.
Amen.
They didn't have one either. We'll continue to verse 6.
Yes.
That must have been verse 5 I read.
Mm-hmm.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts.
Okay, he's clearly talking of the glory of Christ who will fill the millennial temple, which is coming pretty soon. And the next verse, we're going to see yet another important date, still again in the same year.
Okay.
Verse 10.
We're up to verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, I know you're going to comment on this, in the second day of Darius.
Year.
The word, second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying.
Okay, so we've got the 24th day of the ninth month now.
Now, I knew that wasn't going to get past you.
No, of course. This is very, very important because this is the beginning of the Hanukkah season.
But not then.
No, they hadn't even had that yet. Now, here's the amazing part. God chose to use this day knowing that in the future there would be a Hanukkah beginning on this day, which would be the rededication of the temple.
Wow.
So he is telling them that they're defiled and they're going to be rededicated soon, and we're going to see this in the next few verses. And he chooses the day that would be in the future of after the temple is defiled by Antiochus Epiphanes and then rededicated. I think it's just absolutely amazing. People, if you're getting this, and I hope that I'm explaining it well, you got to read it closely yourself.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to see him do this.
That is really cool.
Go ahead, and we'll talk about it more.
Okay. Thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no.
No.
Of course not.
Of course, the spiritual application here is you being saved can't save anyone else just by touching him.
You can't rub elbows with somebody and then they'll get saved? Oh, wow.
No. And then he goes on. Read
okay.
Some more.
And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it will be unclean.
And, of course, the spiritual application, bad company corrupts good morals. Now, you can read a lot more about this, in, of course, in Corinthians, because that was the carnal church. But I'm going to give you some scriptures to write down, and you can look up later. 1 Corinthians 15:33, 1 Corinthians 3:16, 2 Corinthians 6:16, and 17. Basically, it's all about keeping company with good spiritual people. Now, you still have to be in the world, and you still have to go out and witness to others.
Exactly.
Make sure that's your goal. Don't start really rubbing elbows with people that could just pull you down, because it's almost like a clean cloth. Will it stay clean if you put it in a bowl of dirty water?
I don't know. It won't.
No.
No. Where'd you get that from? Did you make that one up?
I made that up.
That's very good. Wow.
So let's continue. Verse 14.
Verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me.
Unclean.
Unclean, right, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean.
Again, he is scolding them for what they had, you know, how they had been.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's getting ready to rededicate them, but he's just reminding them that they were dirty, okay?
Okay.
And again, he's going to rededicate them on the same day that a future temple will be rededicated. Basically, that's what it is. So,
Very
verse 15.
And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap, one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, but there were but 10. Mm-hmm. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20.
Yeah. In other words, when one person came to the heap of 20 ephahs, but they only found 10. In other words, they expected, but it wasn't worth what it should have been.
Okay.
Okay, and that's similar to us today. I mean, our dollar isn't what it should be worth. anymore.
Mm.
You know, and he's trying to show them that he's allowing that so that they would say, Lord, help us. We repent, but they didn't.
Oh.
Go ahead and read verse 12. 17. Thank you.
Okay. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord.
That's right. Explaining what he did to try to get them to turn to God. And isn't that what's happening today?
Yeah, we are. We're defiled people.
I mean, why do people,
people
think that God can't do any of this stuff, the bad weather and
the
fires?
The economy?
The economy and just, you know, he's trying to get our attention. 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
People, we need to wake up.
Wow.
Verse 18.
Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid.
They just started laying it.
Consider it.
He's saying now, basically, you're going to get rededicated. You've turned to me now, and I'm going to show you how I can bless you. Verse 19.
Okay, verse 19. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you.
Wow. Can you imagine hearing that?
Yes, that's good news.
We hear it all the time, don't we? We know that he blesses us.
We sure do.
Verse 20.
And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying,
same day.
Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth.
Okay. Reminds us today, again, that it was on the anniversary of the future dedication, sort of like a start over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to destroy their enemies. He's going to shake the heavens. And later, he will destroy, as we know, because hindsight is 2020, he will destroy Antiochus Epiphanes and his army as well. And again, he's repeated three times now that it's the 24th of the same month. And again, that's when the dedication of the temple was.
That's so interesting.
It's just amazing to me.
Verse 22?
Yes.
I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one, by the sword of his brother.
Okay, so again, he's telling them that he's going to be by their side, long as they, you know, have their hearts where they're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
get that temple built. And by the way, they did. It took them 4 years, but they kept working on it, and eventually it was done. And God blessed them through that. He kept their enemies away. But I wanted to point something else out here, John. It says in verse 22, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms.
Yeah, so?
Okay, you know, they were all kingdoms like Nebuchadnezzar and, you know, Alexander the Great,
yeah,
and all that stuff. But it's interesting that throne is singular. And I looked it up, and it's not thrones. It's singular.
Wow.
I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms.
You mean that all the kingdoms have one throne?
They have one leader.
And who's that?
Who do you think? Yeah, it's Satan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, that's what he's going to do at the end of the tribulation period. He's
mm-hmm.
going to throw them in the lake of fire and chain them up. Well, the Antichrist is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Satan will be chained up for 1,000 years. So during the millennial kingdom,
wow,
we can't say the devil made us do it.
No, we cannot.
No, we can't. So let's close tonight with verse 23.
Okay. In that day,
which we'll be talking about next week,
says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts.
Wow. Well, we know the signet authenticates royalty.
Mm-hmm.
So at the resurrection, these two servants who will have resurrected bodies will hold a high place in the kingdom.
Mm.
Wow.
Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest?
Yes, they're going to be right up there.
Wow.
So now, let me just, we only got a minute left. I just want to go over again. Tell as many people as you can about the Lord Jesus Christ.
And why?
And that's because you don't want them to have to go through the tribulation. However, if they do not listen to you, then at least tell them exactly what's going to happen with the rapture and you know, that this new leader is going to be coming on the scene. Hopefully, they'll give their hearts to the Lord immediately after they see millions of people disappear. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they will get saved and be a tribulation saint. Make sure you tell them to do it right away.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter that we're trying to, we don't want to be like, well, we're right. We're just, you know.
I've got a lot of scriptures and things to back up everything that I say. I've connected the dots many, many years.
I know. I'm just saying that we're saying that we want you to do this for yourself, not for us or not because of anything we do. But God loves you, and he's shaking up the world right now because he wants you to repent.
That's right.
And if you're out witnessing to people and you don't see any results, don't worry about it. The seed you plant that someday, very soon, that we're going to disappear off the face of the earth, and the Lord's coming back, and there's going to be an antichrist and a tribulation that you'll have to go through, and you may not make it. That's the seed, and that's
very,
what
very
they'll remember after, because that the rapture slash you know,
resurrection
is going to wake a lot of people up.
I'll say.
Okay.
All right. We're going to have to say goodbye.
Oh, my goodness. let's see. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or your church group? You may email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006, and we'll be back next Tuesday right here. And you can listen live stream www.whkwradio.com. Any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on the webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burchan 44021. All your donations will get you on the monthly newsletter, and you can check out shofarministries.net, where all our newsletters and previous programs are archived, and teaching DVDs and CDs, too. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing tonight. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you, and the Lord will be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom.
Join us again next Tuesday, 8 p.m.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.